Today we're going to be in part five called Living in the Moment. And what I want to do is, if you've got your Bibles, if you're already at Colossians, that's cool. But I'm just going to read this, what he says in the fourth chapter. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too. Now he's talking about the mission group that had come to Colossae to start this church of Paul and several other people. That God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. I'm a servant. I'm a bond servant to that. In other words, I'm a slave to it. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. Boy, there's a mouthful. And what we're going to do is we're going to begin to look at a part of this today. All of us have special days in our life, from one place or another. The day we're born, the day get our first bicycle. I remember my first bicycle. Dude, that was a cool day. And then I remember the day I talked my grandmother and grandfather into buying me one of those English racer three-speed bikes. You know, that was before they even knew the number 10 for 10-speed. You know, that was back then. And man, that was a special, special day. Graduating from high school, I really don't know what that day was like. I was in a car on my way to California with surfboards stacked on top and never walked across to get a diploma. We're going surfing, okay? Hey, the thing is, but one of those special days in my life was in 1972 in the summer in the middle of the Cotton Bowl. And a great thing that was called Expo 72. And Billy Graham had spoke that night. And the thing is when I had accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was one of those guys that says, God, give me all you have for me. And we're like that. But that night in the middle of the Cotton Bowl, as Billy Graham made a call to people to give their all for the kingdom of God, I can remember back around on the 50-yard line, probably about 30 rows up, me and a friend named Joey, we stood both with our hands outstretched, tears rolling down our eyes, saying, God, not only am I ready for anything that you have for me, but God, I am ready to lay my life down for the cause of Christ. And at 17 years old, long-haired on the side, bell-bottom jeans, all that kind of stuff, wondering if my life would ever really make a difference. My only problem was I didn't totally walk in that commitment. Anyone there with me? You make these things where God just comes in your life with this burning desire and really, you know, for the moment. And it was true. And I can still remember the pathos of that night. I remember because after he made that call, it was Andre Crouch and the disciples began to play a song. And I mean, it was like God was in the house. And then everybody had been given a candle and we lit candles from one point and candles lit all the way around the Cotton Bowl in the dark. It was this incredible moment of driving a stake. But my life didn't quite line up with that. Several things I want us to understand today as we begin to walk with this is like you never have to fear of totally surrendering yourself to God. That night in God's presence, there was no fear to surrender everything that I had. Lining my life up with that commitment is the rough thing. But there's certain times that we get in our lives that say, you know, I just don't want to make the commitment. I'm too afraid to make the commitment for this reason or that reason or what my friends might think or whatever it is, what they'll think of me on the job. And we live in a little bit of fear of making a commitment in that. But I want you to understand that God never, never exploits His kids. In other words, we are not His dish rag. And when I wrote that, I could imagine like that when I wash dishes and stuff at the house, which I do quite frequently, I take the dish rag and just wring it out. And I go, you know, that's not the way we are with God. God just doesn't take us and wring everything He can get out of us and lay us aside and move on to the next person to get His work done. It's not like that at all. The second thing is this. He desires to flow in you. He desires to flow through you with His strength and His power to flood you full of Him. You know, right now we're like Drought City. But several places in the United States, it's like last week, the Houston area is like totally flooded. Houses are flooded. And water is everywhere. It's in the houses. It doesn't stop at the front door. I mean, it goes through the house. It fills everything. And that's what God says. He said, I want to be like a flood in your life. I want to flood every area that's inside of you. Here's a picture of the Sea of Galilee. If you've been there, it is incredible. And what happens is the Jordan River flows down to the Sea of Galilee on one side, and on the other end, the Jordan River flows out of the Galilee area. There is this flowing in, filling up, and flowing out. This place has become a fountain of life to a community that's around it. And not only it, if you go to the Jezreel Valley that we went as we stood on top of Mount Carmel and looked down on the Jezreel Valley, I mean, this place is absolutely gorgeous. They grow all the produce that country needs, and they ship tons and tons and tons of produce throughout Europe. What takes place in Israel is way beyond our imagination. And that flow has become an incredible blessing, not only to that region, but to all of Europe. And this is a picture of, anyone know where that is? It's called the Dead Sea. And guess what? There's flow into it, but there's no flow out of it. And the water and life there has become dead, and that's why they call it the Dead Sea. It's barren, it's desolate. Carol and I floated around on the top of the water while we were there. You couldn't even sink in that place. You try to even stay upright and you bob. I mean, because there's so much salt in that area, in that water. And it's dead. And there's no vegetation. There's nothing. It's barren. The full intention and will of God for each and every one of us, every age bracket, from the oldest here to the youngest kid back in children, is to be filled by the Creator God. And everything He has and fills into us, He wants us to fill into us and flow out of us. Here's an old saying that I've heard 100 times and I don't know where it came from. Our attitude is this: get all you can all you get, and then just sit on your can. And so let's use that illustration of a can. Here we go, a can. This is what God is saying to me and you today. He said, listen, if you'll open the top of your can and let me pour into it, this is what I promise I'll do. I will not only pour into, but I will fill it up. And then if you'll open the bottom of your can, I will allow it to flow out. In other words, I will flow in, keep you full, and then flow out at the same time to those who are arid and dry around you. Has anyone here ever seemed like you got dry in life? And then it seems like out of the blue, someone just speaks life to you and you're full again? Well, there's a world that's out there that's dying and dry, and God has called us to that. Everything that the Lord has given you and I is to be transmitted through us. The incredible thing about God is He chose to use mankind. I would have chose to use some other means to get the message through, not the frailty of man. So our question simply becomes this today. what does it mean to live with Jesus? That's a pretty big question. We've tried to distill that down to several different things, but what does it really mean for Jesus to come and live at my address, at my front door, at my mailbox, in my life with me? What does that really, really mean? I mean, what is the practicality, the reality of that, of Him being right here, right now? You're going to be my guinea pig today, okay? Because you're so pretty. What does that mean if I were Jesus to come live right here with her? Not where there's a gap, but I mean right here. Would that change your attitude? Would that change how you look at stuff? Would it change how you treated Him? Okay, enough. Should I sit by Him? Yeah, there you go. When you and I embrace God, when we understand that, yes, there is a God, and He is there, and He is real, and as we begin to understand that, and understand that He wants to be part of us, and we be part of Him, and have fellowship with Him. When we come to that point, I don't mean, anyone here need to get saved? Yes, I need to get saved. I need to go to heaven. Pray this prayer. We pray that prayer. You go to heaven. Okay? That is the thing of just an entry point into relationship with Him. But when we realize that He is real, that He desires to have relationship, that He says, you're in me, I'm in you, and we realize that and take a step further, and we begin to lean into that possibility that what God says in His Word is really true for me, and we begin to live in that, we find out, in fact, He does embrace us, and relationship begins. Everybody with me? Over here, I'm accepting Him as my Savior, but I have no real relationship with Him. It's when I realize that He is saying, come unto me, all you guys that are worn out in life. I am rest. I am light. I'm the bread of life. And we realize that and we begin to lean into that. Then relationship begins to develop between the two of us. And as we embrace God through Jesus, it's at that very moment that when we do that and we embrace Him then, we realize God has been there all the time. We're going to talk about that three-dimensional world. We're still playing in that, so we grasp this. As we go into the future with Him, past, present, future, as we get saved, as we press into that life, and as we step into our future down the road, we'll realize that He's already been here. Okay, I want to keep it so we get it today. How many of us can look back on our lives and realize that where we are today in His presence with Him can look back and see how He brought certain people, certain things, certain events, certain roads into our life to lead us to where we are? In other words, He has been in our past preparing us for our future. Anyone know that? You know what I'm talking about, okay? Even though we didn't know He was doing what He was doing here to get us there, okay? Me coming to the restaurant. I knew what he was doing. You didn't know that, right? Okay, every day. In other words, it was a benchmark in your life. It's the same way with my future from here. He did all this stuff to get me here. Now I have over there my future. And as I get to that future, no matter what condition that future is, whether I have health, whether I have sickness, whether I have poverty, or whether I have, praise God, riches, whatever it is, whatever that future is, when I get there, I realize that He got there before me. Dude. I mean, here we go. Yet, when I get there, I came with Him when I got there. You follow me? This is God, okay? He's back here orchestrating me to get me here. I can look back and see what He did to get me here. I can see maybe what He's doing there, but He's already there doing that. But as I get there, He's with me. Oh, that sounds like God. And it's really, 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 really important for us to understand this as we walk through today. Because, see, if I don't understand these things and I leave things out, then what happens is I miss pieces of life. And I don't want to miss pieces of life because this is my only time through. I do not get a second chance. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is a one-time audition, play, finale, everything. It's right here. It's right now. And if I miss this moment, I never get this moment back. You follow me? Okay. It helps me to know that my God has been there all the time. He was there when I was born. He was there when I skied down the slope with my wife for the very first time before we were even engaged. He was there when they placed my sons in my arm. He's here this morning, and He's over here before I ever get there, but He's going to go with me to get over there. Nothing in my life is happenstantial. Nothing whatsoever. Everything is designed and doesn't happen by chance. Yet in my past, when I was over here, He did not intrude into my life and just say, Don, you better get it together or you're going to go to hell. He never said that. He didn't haunt me. Ooh, if you don't follow me, I'm going to, you know, whatever. He didn't do that. But He was there all the time. I get it, Don. Okay. But you need to get it so we get the point for today. Because He's here right now. When any two to three gather in His name, He is uniquely present at this moment. And as I step into my future, and some of that future I want to vote on. Some of it, I don't even want it votable. I mean, I find out He's already there. You're a little repetitious. Yes, for a reason. So it's somehow, every bit of this is all set up by design. And we walk through things that you and I could never arrange for ourselves. And see, that's what it means when the Scripture, when Jesus says, I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That I was here in your past doing things to bring you to this point. You didn't even know I was there, but I was there. I came with you at this point. I'm already over there doing things over there. And I will be with you going over here. In other words, with you and I, we live in a three-dimensional world, past, present, future, height, depth, width. This is our world. But God lives in a non-dimensional or all-dimensional world, Our life is sequential. We'll talk about in a minute. His is current event. He is there with our past. He's there with our future. He's here with our present. He's omnipresent in all of that. And that's what it meant that I am Alpha, beginning. I am in there. I see your whole life right here at one time, at one moment. Your life is current event to me. Another reason we call him God. He is not a big one of us. For now, the scripture, it says, for now, we see only a reflection in the mirror. He does this whole thing, and this is in Corinthians chapter 13. He talks about love and what love is. And then he gets to a thing about as we begin to grow and as we begin to mature. And then he comes to this thing that we see right now only like in a mirror or a glass darkly. It's like a limousine. We see those big stretch limousines pull up and they got the glass and you try to look through to see who's in there, but you can't really see, but something's there and you're kind of seeing dimly through that thing and you're looking at that thing. But listen, what it does not say is it does not say we will see stuff. What's it say? It will see a face. We will see a person. We will see Him. Dude, as we grow in this life, we begin to see Him. What I want us to do this morning is this moment, where we're at right now, become an every time moment for us and begin to look at life differently. To help us understand, listen, that you are not accidentally where you are today. You are not accidentally doing what you're doing today. There's no accident about any of this stuff. There is no accident about where you were working today. There is no accident of being right here. And no accident about living where you live. That God has this plan. Acts 17 tells us that He chose the times and the places for us to live and for us to dwell. There is no accident about any of it. And that this moment right now, where we are, is filled with possibility, filled with potential, with excitement, with reality, and an air conditioner that's not quite working good. But we can miss this very easily. Everybody with me so far? And this moment right now will never come again. It's here, and it's now, and it's going to be over. Fact. That life with God is not sequential, but it's dynamic. What do I mean like that? Sequential means this. One event after another event. After event. After event. After event. After event. After event. That's what sequential is. Now, we live in a three-dimensional world. So time is measured by event, event, event. Because we live in this world, that's the way time is measured. But you and I must not believe that life is that way. We are very good at living in the past and dreaming for the future, and we're not occupying now. Am I making sense? Haven't stepped on any toes yet, I don't think. When we misunderstand life and we live from event to event, guess what? We miss life. We miss the moment. The scriptures tell us this, that we are hid in Christ. That when we accept Christ, we are hid in. We're not only in Him, but now we're hid in Him. I don't think I'm ever really going to understand all of this. So I try my best to put all this together. And what this tells me is because I'm hid in Christ, then I know that God isn't way, 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 way up here, observing me way back there, and I'm not way back there observing God way up here, that it's not from a distance. That if I'm hid in Christ, then He is here now, and I am in Him. He's in me. I'm hid with Him. I'm with Him. And then there's this through Him. And it all takes place right here, not 3,000 miles out there. It takes place here. And I don't want to sound like a flat earther at all, but listen, if God is here, I'm in Him, He's in me, I'm hid in Him, through Him, with Him, that means this is the center of the universe. Because this is where God dwells and has brought me in Him. You follow me? Thank you. He's not handing down a list to me of things I need to do to properly worship Him in a proper way and be totally effective. He's not doing that at all. He's simply saying, listen, let me come alive inside of you. Over here, you prayed this prayer and I came in. In other words, begin to lean into the possibility that there's relationship between you and I. Let me be in you. Let you be in me. Let us do this thing together. Change the singular to plural, and it's us. Listen, when I do that, when I think that way, this liberates me from trying to do the next event well. Oh, let's strategize. We did something. Let's get our team together. Hey, this is where we did it real good. This is where we did it bad. So the next time we do this thing, let's do all the good stuff even twice as much and delete the bad or do the bad better. But when I realize that I'm doing life with Him, it frees me from trying to do life better, because it's us doing life rather than me doing it on my own. Okay? You follow me? Okay. I'm not saying do not plan ahead. Carol's already got the next 20 years of vacation lined out for me. Okay? We're behind a couple of years on that, but I'm trying to catch up. Okay? Next year she says it's Hawaii. All right. I'm in agreement. But what I'm asking you, as you plan the future, do not miss right now, this moment. Don't miss now by planning for then. Don't miss now for that one question, well, what if? If this would have happened, my life would be different. If this would have happened, my life... If this would have... You follow what I'm saying? If I would have just said no, or if I would have just said yes, if I would have just even said maybe, or don't miss now because of what happened to me in my past. Listen, understand one thing. I was raised in an alcoholic home. My dad was an alcoholic. But listen, that could have changed my whole life. But I will not allow what took place to guide me in my future. I am in Christ. What happened back there happened back there, and it does not have an effect on me now, because I will not allow that to dictate me. I will allow the Spirit of God to dictate me. So when we keep hearing, but nobody understands my past and this, get over it. Understand that Christ is coming to you. You are a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away, and now it's time to say, God, I am hooking up with you, and from this moment on, I'm not going to live back there, but you were made everything to bring me to this point, and you're there, and I'm going to walk with you to get there, and my freedom comes between there and there, and I'm going to stand in it. You follow me? And that's what it boils down to. And we can choose to live in the past if we want to, but you'll never get to a productive future if you live back there. So there comes a time that we have to say, I will no longer let my past dictate my future, because God says, and the Spirit of God says, and the Bible says, I once was that, but I'm no longer that anymore. And I have to choose whether I'm going to believe in what God says about me or what my past says about me. And that's what it boils down to in this thing of saying, I'm going to be changed. We miss the moment, and there will never be another moment like this. We can't go back and change those moments. We have that expression, if you could go back and change anything, would you? Dude, I would. I'd go back and change a whole lot of stuff. You can plan all the events you want with your wife, with your family, with your kids, with your friends, and I'm here to tell you those events will never work and they will never accomplish what you want them to accomplish. Oh, you know what? I'm going to plan this event. You know, me and Carol, we're going to go to Hawaii. And when we get there, boy, we're going to have great, great time together. And I'm going to tell you, it will not work. Because if I'm not spending time with her right now in the moment, then when I get over here to the event, there is no relationship. We will sit there and stare at one another and figure out where we can go spend money and not have a relationship. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm very careful with my wife at times when she's coming home. Can I meet you for a cup of coffee? Can I eat? Because I want to share moment time with her. Because moment time with her makes event stuff happen. But if I'm trying to plan an event, it's not going to do what I want it to do. Because if I don't have a relationship going in there, there's no relationship when I get there. You follow me? So guys, gals, grab that moment that you have now. Relationship events cannot build relationship on planned time. There has to be relationship to make events work in our life. So grab that moment where you are now with your husband, with your wife, and don't put it off. When he says, spend some time with me, then do that, because he's crying for communication. When she says, spend some time with me, she's crying, give me a moment, because the events of our life in the future, I want them to work. And unless we have this here, they're not going to work. Everyone follow me? Okay, that's enough toes. And if you understand that Christ Jesus is in you, He already has the events of your life patterned out. I don't have to worry about the events. I just worry about now, in the moment. And if you're aware of Him, He will give you moments, and you'll see a face, a person, you will be with Him. Because Jesus says to me, He says, come be with me. He said to His disciples, come be with me. How often, if we go through the Scriptures, He's saying, hey, look at me. Do not miss me right now. Hey, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to do that. But give me a moment of your time. Come here, listen. And it's in the moments that kingdom works are accomplished. It's in the moment that as you give, the open top of your can, the bottom open of that, as you give and He flows through you, that is when Jesus is expressed. And it's in the moment that their response is a responding to Jesus. Well, what do I mean by all that? See, moments are set up in our life. And those moments are like chain reactions with God in people's lives that bring them into relationship with Him. You follow me? Okay. I can't tell you the amount of times in my life, and when we run through this little litmus in just a minute, you'll see that God has set up moments on airlines, at checkout counters, at restaurants, where moments happen in my life. Over coffee this last week, I'm with someone and we're just talking, and a moment takes place. And what I understand about that moment is that God has already started a chain reaction in this guy's life. I was only fuel at this depot stop, and that conversation is going to continue with him. You follow that? I was saying things he needed to hear. At one point, I said, I hope I'm not boring you. And he holds his hand up and goes, no, I need to hear this. Standing at a bar. Let me qualify that. Carol and I are in Atlanta Airport. Our seating is right here, and there's this one wall, and there's one of those little airport bars, and they got the television over it, and the Colts were playing, and it was like playoff time. So I'm standing right in here, and I'm watching it, and there's these two guys sitting on their stools at the bar, and I'm watching the game, and I'm listening to their conversation. Then I'm listening to their conversation. And then the football game isn't even on my brain anymore. I'm listening to the conversation. And they're talking about, you know, the kids of this world, they're going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it just doesn't matter what you're doing. And they're using that phraseology, and they're drinking their beer, and they're, you know. And one guy finally says, he said, you know what, I don't care what they say. They tell you you're not supposed to spank your kid, but you know why? He said, well, I find out when I discipline my kid, there's respect there. And I said, I just leaned in and went, I don't mean to interrupt y'all's conversation, but like I was reading in this old ancient text the other day about disciplining children, and this is like a real old thing, and I shared about sparing the rod, bringing up the child, all those kind of things, and they're going, oh, that's good. And then they said something else. And in this old ancient text, I said this. Because if I'd have said the Bible, these guys would have shut me down right off the bat, okay? This old ancient text. Whoa, wow, that's really good. Hey, can we buy you a beer? No, my plane's fixing to take off. I'm fixing to be out of here in a minute. And then about the fourth time when I said old ancient, they're going, where can we buy this book? What is the name of it? I said, the book actually is a book within, it's a small little thing within this book, and this section, this chapter is like called Proverbs. And the guy goes, dude, that's good. Man, Proverbs are like things to live by. And I'm going, like, yeah, where can I buy one of these? I said, probably in the bookstore right down there, they may have one. He said, are you serious? I said, yeah, it's called the Bible. What took place right then was a moment. I did not plan it, and I did not set it up. But I was aware of what taken place. Carol's calling me on my cell phone while I'm in a bar. They're offering $200 if we'll step off the plane. And I'm going, not good enough. I'm in a moment. But when we got on the plane, they said, we're overweight, we're overloaded. We'd like two people to step off. We're offering $600. And I hit the buzzer. Sold! Carol and I got $600 vouchers apiece. Listen, God will bless you in your moments. On a flight from Denver to Houston. If you'll notice, there's something about where God sets up moments. I get on, and this young girl, she starts griping about youth. She works at Ben Taub Trauma Unit, and she is like livid about having to go back to work every Friday, every Saturday. Kids are coming in, shot up, stabbed, blah, 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 hates dealing with kids. What do you do? I was a youth pastor at that time. Standing on the tarmac, not standing, but the plane on the tarmac, everybody off. I'm standing in the aisle with her and the guy behind him, and I'm leading them to the Lord. They got on the plane lost. They left the plane saved. Why? Because listen, the moment presented itself. And I was aware of the moment. I did not plan for it. I did not look at it. But, you know, that happened on a flight to Tulsa, from Houston to Tulsa. Doctor named Andy from Bentonville, Arkansas. We get in and there's this long conversation. His was right over here. In the very beginning, it was the planting the seed. There will God will set up circumstances in this chain reaction that He will come to another one that is fuel in the depot. Understand? And there will be another one over here for Andy that will lead him into the kingdom of God, that God might have the increase. But I took a moment. You understand? I did not plan for it. It happened by God's design on a flight to San Francisco, from San Francisco to Honolulu. I get in and this guy comes and he sits next to me. He sits down. And we're discussing what we're going to do. Surfer guy, Honolulu, on our way. Do you know this guy? And we both know this same guy. His attitude towards this guy was the same guy attitude as my attitude toward this guy. Another story, different time. Then he tells this very, very, very off-color joke, and I didn't crack a smile. And then he comes back, "What's wrong with you?" Now, for the next 3.5 hours from San Francisco to Honolulu, he wasn't over here. He was abased. He was way over here. I hope that the seeds that I planted at least got him to hear. In each one of these things, each one of these people were doing a little bit of talking to me, but they were doing a little bit of talking to Jesus, even though they didn't know it. Why? Because I am in Him and He is in me, and we do this thing together. And for once, they are seeing Jesus face to face and doesn't even know it. I have never seen any of these people since then. That moment pressed itself into me. It wasn't an event. It was dynamic. You follow me? What happened from Denver to Houston, from Houston to Tulsa, from San Francisco to Honolulu, in a bar in Atlanta Airport, cannot be measured in a three-dimensional world. What took place there was a time and place where I am, but God stepping in all dimensions into that world, affecting them in a chain reaction to take them from this place to this place or this place to this place. You cannot measure that in a three-dimensional world. It cannot be reduced. It cannot to a formula. It cannot be measured. What happened is a moment in time. You follow me so far? Okay. I may never see any of these people ever again, but they are in my life forever because of a moment. The doctor in Bentonville, I texted him the other day and I just said, "Hope your day is going good." That's it. Nothing more. But every 2-3 months, he gets this text. He may not even remember me, but out of the blue, he's getting this deal. "I hope your day is going well." How many of these moments have I missed? And I don't say that out of guilt. I don't say it out of regret. I don't say it. But this is out of those things, but this is what I do say. I'm just saying, Jesus, help me understand. Help me understand my life dynamically. Help me understand my life transdimensionally. In other words, I'm not just in this three-dimensional world, but I am tied into a world that is completely without are all dimensions that I'm tied into this, and help me understand that there's not a set of rules that I have to live by. There's just this relation of being in Him and I in Him. Listen, help me understand this, that for a minute, I stepped into a stream of life. Help me understand that that streaming is God Himself. And He takes me forward. And He takes me deeper. And life comes from His hand. A 17-year-old kid standing in the middle of a cotton bowl with candles being lit, saying, God, I'll do whatever you call me to do. But wondering if my life would ever make a difference. Standing here today, I will tell you, my life has made a difference. But as I go forward to what He has for me, I don't want to stop there. I want to have more of what He has for me. Live for the moments. Don't go looking for them. Don't make them, try to make them. Oh man, you know, someone asks you, they pull up a cigarette and they say, you got a light? Don't go, oh, well, the light of God. I mean, I was raised in a church that, oh, this is, man, you, this is how you start witnessing to all these people. You want to go out for a drink? I've got the well of the Lord in me. And you sound stupid. But if we will allow, God has events, God has moments that are built into this life with us, that He says, if you will take a moment and be with me, boy, you're going to see some things that are going to rock your world. And I want to be part of that. How about you? Father, we just thank You today for Your grace, for Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, that I'm not here for any happenstantial reason, Lord, but I am here because You have chosen the place of where I'm to dwell, where I'm to live. And Father, You have brought moments in my life. From waitresses at tables of coming saying, when is my life going to change? From moments at counters when I've prayed for girls that are working counters. I've been on plane with guys and different things. And Lord, all these things are moments that You've brought into my life that I didn't do, that You did, that they were planned events. It's kind of reminds me of that scripture of being led by the Spirit of God, that's what moments are. Help me and help those that are here today realize those moments and that You want to take us to a place. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I just need to ask You one thing. Is this morning a moment in your life that you'll be like a 17-year-old kid that said, you know what, my life isn't really going anywhere, but you know what, I need to ask Him into my life and would like to press in that. If that's here and Christ isn't in your life today and you're saying, I need to invite Him in. If that's you, listen, I'm not going to make you stand. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. All I'm saying is if that's you this morning, let your eyes meet my eyes. In other words, just look at me and say, I want to give my life to Christ. If that's you this morning, I want to give you that opportunity. Just real quick. Real quick. Anyone here at all? Then I'm going to take it as we're a household of faith. But are you willing to do what I did as a 17-year-old kid and say, Jesus, whatever You have for me, I'm willing to do that? If that's you this morning, then I'm just going to ask you to stand. That you're saying this morning, I want those moments in my life. And I might not get there right away, but dude, I want that to happen. And I'm willing to give my life to You. And I'm willing to do whatever You've called me to do. And I don't know how to get there. But understand, He does. Because He's not only in your past, He's right here, right now. And He will be there before you get there, and He goes there with you. By just saying this, you're saying the same thing I did in the cotton bowl many years ago. I'm willing. There will be a time that you'll look back and go, my life did make a difference. Amen.